Skype of Cthulhu presents a Delta Green scenario. A Victim of the Art by Dennis Detweiler.
What do we got on reviewing what happened the last time, please?
So, we tried to see some more, tried to find some more witnesses, interview some more people. Randall's character, Agent Marco, went off with Mr. Bob Turner, the crazy farmer who thinks there's a bunch of UFOs somewhere, and as I recall, there was something of a cliffhanger where he saw something or was about to see something or something bad was about to happen to Agent Marco.
I will review that when Randall comes for his scene, just so we don't have to repeat it because he's running late. But there was
the more sensible of us, however.
that would be you, right?
We were kind of trying to follow up on the third victim, Miss Hotvin. We interviewed her boyfriend, who is a complete jerk. We met the principal of the school that she works at. And then we were last at her apartment and found some strange things in her apartment. Like apparently a full garbage can was in the closet. She had a bunch of books, National Geographic magazines. The one thing that seemed of special interest was a book called A Comprehensive History of South American Cultures by, I think, Javier Wu.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a possible connection with a student, a Thomas Dangler, who was the last person to check that book out, who had also served a recent detention, apparently, with Miss Hotvin.
Yep. So, there were a couple other students before him, Wolseley Penman and Tim Giacomini, but Dengler was the latest one to check it out. Yes.
So we know how those go these days with teachers and students.
I'm hot for teacher,
and that's what I have.
Cool. Anything you remember, Max?
Max has stepped away for a moment.
Ah, okay. All right, then. Any questions, then, for anybody before we get going?
I would just like to say for the record that nobody has been insane, been mauled, or died. This is rather pathetic for a bunch of Delta Green agents.
This is a real investigation, and you guys have not even begun to unravel it. So it's not the type of Delta Green you probably have played in the past. So...
However,
I will remember your comment.
Okay, I'm back, guys.
And when it comes to rolling, I might very well just pick you, if you prefer.
Okay. Heap on the abuse.
You know, if you want. Wow, there's not enough people dying. Oh, random rolls? No, we'll just pick you. Okay, so anyway, Max, you're back. Jim just wrapped up the note things. I was curious if you had anything to add before we get going.
Well... the stuff that stuck out to me was Thomas Dangler, whose name we found in the detention slips in the garbage cans in a closet in Hotvin's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. Also a name, Wolseley Renman?
Penman,
there we go. Can't read my own
notes.
He was
the second person to... Second
person of interest. And then there was a book by a South American book by Professor Wu, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. I don't recall exactly if I was able to get back and look through Hotvin's desk a little more thoroughly, but that's okay. I think I got the handwritten notes from Samuel Adams, and that was everything
I
found.
You're the one who picked a... I forget if you picked a lock or something, but you opened a drawer at her desk and took some stuff out when nobody was looking.
Yeah, there
and
we
I
go.
Think that's where you found the detention slip thing.
Well, I have the detention slips, paperwork slash detention slips in a closet in a garbage can in Hopin's apartment. Yeah, I think I found the love notes or whatever letters. I haven't reviewed them yet, I don't think.
Okay, that's right.
In that cabinet that Miss Winthrop unlocked for me.
Okay, cool.
And Hopin used to be a stripper.
Ah, yes. Well, that's what somebody said. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but her boyfriend trying to defame her.
Could be.
Speaking ill of the dead. Gosh, what a guy.
Yeah, Jim's character really did not like him. So
I would join in that feeling had I met him.
All right, so we left off with you guys, I believe, finishing up certain things, and I seem to recall when we last left you guys, you were where?
Sorry, we were still at Miss Hotvin's apartment.
Yeah, and I believe so. The two of you have finished. Believe you have finished checking that area out, and maybe you got a call from Mr. Crazy, letting you know he's back.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, Thomas Keene is ready to proceed. He
we
get a text,
you.
A voicemail. Maybe even talking to him. Yep.
Had to run a little errand. You know, Alphonse, pick up the strange package at the crime scene that's twitching and moving. Drop it off in a green box. Don't ask any questions. That sort of thing. So where should I meet you guys at?
Perhaps back at the sheriff's. Perhaps back at the sheriff's office, and we'll hopefully. What's that guy's? Agent Marco will meet us there soon, and we can compare notes and decide where to go next.
Did Agent Marco update you on what we learned from the mother at the stress clinic?
Yes, he did. He did.
Yes.
Good.
Catatonic mother that you coaxed into giving you some letters on the blocks.
Yeah, cacao, whatever that means.
Cacao.
Cacao. It's a password. Yeah, that's it. All right. So you guys link up at the sheriff's place. Alice gives you a hello in her usual chipper way as you come in, and you guys go into the back, and the three of you are hanging out there. You have not.
Yeah, I know where the donuts are.
Okay, well, we're getting some sandwiches coming in. So, yeah, three of you are back, looking over your notes at a table. You've got all the boxes out and everything, and cool. Go.
Once the receptionist heads out of the room. Agent Molotov. Agent Molotov? Molotov? Is that you? Is that you? Infamous Agent Molotov? I'm Mason. Mason. Frank Mason.
Yeah. It's me. It's how you doing? Agent Mason. And I don't... I shake your hand as I don't guys the fact I'm raising a flask to my lips. How are you doing? You're stuck on this case with us too, huh?
Any case is a good case. That's okay. We're making some headway.
Well, maybe another person will give us some more information, because right now we're hitting a brick wall.
I think I would have brought the comprehensive history of South American cultures
with us.
And so while these two are sharing their crazy with each other, I will just be scanning the book.
Okay. Yeah, so before I forget, let's see here. Jim, you get two clue chips for leading the review. Max, you get a clue chip for bringing up some pertinent points. Let's see here. And Max and Brent will each get a clue chip for their role-playing right now. And I will give a link to the table. And Jim, you can make a history roll.
Oh, thank you. That's what I was looking for. I can't get back to the table.
A history roll.
Yes. This is as you're going through it, you know.
Yeah, no.
Just see if anything leaps out of you.
Nope. Apparently not.
Okay. By the way, before I forget, also, did you guys check off your stuff that you succeeded at last time? If so, you should roll that to see if any of them go up.
Oh, okay. Cool.
'Cause
we're already doing that? Cool. That.
Yeah, I do that in between sessions. I don't wait till the very end. You guys need all the help you can get for this, believe me.
Go up by how much? I think you said you want a d6 or something instead of a
d6. The basic rule in Cthulhu 6 is that if you fail after you succeed, you check it off.
Yeah.
If you fail the roll, you get to add d10 to it. If you, I have a special house rule that I lifted from John Hook, where if you ever impale and succeed at something, you have the option of just taking 5 points.
Okay.
Which makes a lot more sense.
I like that.
Something really high. You know, like you're 70, 75, you're probably not going to fail it. So you have a way of gradually going up over time if you want.
Hey, I'm going to log out and log back in. I'm having a lot of problems here with popping and skipping. So get out of here and try this again.
Sure. Okay. So yeah, while they're doing that, you guys can make your rolls to see if anything goes up real quick or in between scenes. But you didn't make the roll for history, so yeah, you're just flipping through the book and you're like, okay.
Can I clue chip it to think about?
You can
to think about what this might possibly have anything to do with anything.
You can clue chip it to go to reroll. You can also, if you need some hints, throw in a clue chip or two, depending on how much you want. If you guys are getting stuck, that's totally cool too.
Yeah, no, I don't care to reroll. That's going to be pointless anyway.
You could also use a clue chip or two to get a lead on something if you guys are feeling you're stuck.
Okay. Yeah, we have a lead. We can check out this Thomas kid.
There's still, there's still other people I believe you haven't tried speaking to. Like when you looked at the files, the cheerleader's house, they have somebody house sitting who's a family friend who might have some information there as well. I speak to Samuel Adams recently. And you also have or Max's character has a bunch of papers in his hand that he hasn't looked at yet, too, as a reminder.
I'm going to be looking through those after the introduction.
What is that you have there in your hand, Agent Mason?
Oh, yeah, Mikey. Mikey, look at
it. It's like a big arrow. Clue.
Boom. I'll just throw him to Mike.
Okay. You guys all start looking over these love letters, and you see that Thomas Dengler has written most of these love letters to the dead cheerleader.
Oh, to the cheerleader, not to the teacher.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to pick up the phone real quick.
Okay.
Sorry, what time of day is it now?
I believe it's like we left off about mid-afternoon, right?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and I think this is the second day of your investigation, correct?
No, this is still our first day, I thought.
Is it first? Okay, that might be true, because I'm running this for another group that's 2 days apart from you guys, so I'll write that down so I don't forget. First day.
Specifically, I'm gonna call Stephanie Miller.
Okay. You call Miss Miller, and she picks up and says hello.
Miss Miller, Agent. What the hell's my name? Agent Mikey. Agent Michaels. We spoke earlier.
Yes. How are you?
I am doing quite well. I was wondering if you could help me out with something really quickly. Do you know if Dr. Moretti knew, or perhaps had, as a patient, or was in some way associated with another student at the high school here, a Thomas Dengler?
Oh, I don't even need to look. I know. I know Thomas. I know his parents too.
Oh,
they all come in for checkups. It's a kind of a small community in the area and whatnot. But yes, he. You hear her flipping through paperwork, and after a minute or so, she goes, oh, that's right. He came in about, I guess it was about 5 weeks ago. He had a root canal.
Oh, I see.
It was pretty painful for him.
But that was that would have been the last time he was in, was 5 weeks ago?
Yes, according to the records we have. Let's see here. He came in. He had to get some painkillers, so we gave him a prescription to go to the pharmacy. His parents picked that up for him. He had a bad reaction, poor boy.
I see. And do you know if Dr. Moretti might have known Mr. Dingler from outside of the office? Perhaps they're families associated in some way, or?
Oh, well, the Danglers have been coming here since Thomas was, I think, 9 or 8. So you all see each other at shopping and downtown and whatnot, and various things like that.
I see. Well, thank you very much for your help. You've been of great assistance. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Call back if you need anything else, Special Agent.
I will certainly do so. Thank you for your time, miss.
Okay.
Click. Well, well, well. Gentlemen, we have a connection. So,
are we in the conference room together?
Yeah, you're in privacy too. You have privacy, so.
Oh, okay, so we're at the sheriff's office in the conference room.
Mm-hmm.
We finally have something that connects all three of the victims. At least one thing.
I was in the bathroom. Sorry, what was it?
This student, Thomas Dingler. He was apparently a patient of Dr. Moretti's, possibly some kind of family friend. According to these letters that Agent Mason has, he was somewhat smitten with Miss Harrogate, and he was the last person to check out this book that Miss Hotvin had in her possession. So,
like a whole lot of coincidence.
Well, perhaps, but you're kind of low there, Max. Can you?
Oh, sorry, is that better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, better.
Better.
Agent Molotov, perhaps you should go interview Thomas Dingler. I have a feeling that you'll be good with the teenage boy set.
I'm great with kids.
Bring in the crazy. Yeehaw!
Well, that's what teenage kids are, so makes sense.
Hey, which he used pictures here is Max's character. Agent, what is it, Agent Mason? Which one is that?
He was there.
Agent Marco, right?
Oh, that's nope. I put.
I don't think Max Marco put a picture up yet. Did he?
Yeah, I did put a picture up last time. I just.
It's possible it's buried under the other.
Is that
pictures.
It? Yeah, there's like a mess of pictures up here. I need to organize this.
It's gotten confusing.
Yeah, we had a lot of introductions.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Maybe. No.
You can click on them and put pictures behind others. Like if you click on it, you can just move it, or you can, move it to the back and pictures behind it'll go to the front, if you want.
All right. Give me
I'll
the
find
address
my picture.
Okay. All right. Give me the address of Dingler, and I'll head over there.
He may still be in school.
Yeah, that's what I was about to suggest. Perhaps you should go to the high school and talk to the principal. His name is Mr. Fenridge. Agent Marco and I have already spoken to him, so.
I suppress a shudder. High school.
Right. You have suddenly flashback to the days when you were picked on or something like that, or something more horrible. Before you became buffed out. And
it
what
involved
are the,
a locker, that's all I'm going to say.
What are the other two of you going to do? Well, he's off.
Agent Molotov, I think you should lean on him a little bit, ask him about his relationship with Miss Harrogate, and be sure to ask him about this book as I tap the book.
All right, what's the book again?
A Comprehensive History of South American Cultures.
Wow, someone takes good notes.
I want to ask the kid about his reading habits. Okay.
And his girlfriend.
Got it.
And his girlfriend. Don't forget the girlfriend.
The girlfriend cheerleader.
Yep.
Hotfin?
Not really a girlfriend. Not really a girlfriend.
Harrogate.
Someone he loved from afar.
All right.
Yeah, as you look over the letters, you can see that these are letters apparently that were written to the cheerleader, Lauren, and there's notes in red next to it by Miss Hotvin saying you shouldn't be writing this stuff during study time. Caught you again.
Caught
you writing this. Caught you again. One more time, you're going to get detention. Okay, you get detention, you know, that type of stuff. And it's basically him just pouring out his heart, and it's almost like painful to read, especially if any of you had similar experiences in your adolescent stages. So,
are there any painful poetry quotes?
I'm gonna steal something from the new Star Wars, since I dislike it so much, and say there's a line that says, "You're so beautiful, it hurts to look at you."
Steve.
Yeah.
So, has anyone checked out the crime scenes yet over there?
I don't think so.
Well, hello? Yeah, we did. I checked out the dentist office.
I mean, where the bodies were found.
Yeah, Agent Mason checked out the tree near the school. We have not gone to look at the water tower yet, where Miss Harrigan was found.
Right. Oh. Nor have you gone to the park area where the dentist's corpse was discovered as well. Nor have you gone to you've actually talked with relations to the dentist, and you've talked with relations to the librarian, Hotvin. You haven't spoken with someone connected with the Harrogates, though there is someone who may be – there's a house sitter there of some sort who's a family friend who might be able to help too.
Well, yeah, but they talked to her crazy mother, so that's kind of
– Yeah, yeah. Yeah. She gave letter clues.
So what do you think,
hey,
Agent
is this
Mason?
Guy here with
– Perhaps you should go check out the water tower, and I'll go take a look at the park.
Sounds like a splendid idea.
Just so we can get all four of us split up in different directions.
Yeah, this is a perfect time for an attack.
Wasn't Agent Marco going to go check out the TV show people?
Agent Marco is still with Mr. Turner, the farmer.
Where is Agent Marco, we wonder, as Randall suddenly pops into Skype? Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, there was, like, the hanger from last session, so I wanted to go and talk to the TV people, but I want to
finish. That's right!
I want to wrap it up here first.
Isn't everyone trying to convince you not to talk to the TV people, and you're still insistent? No, I'm going to go talk to them.
Yes, Cyril.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how Marco does his job.
Okay. So actually, I was planning to make you the first scene because you had the cliffhanger. But so why don't we cut over to that, and then we can do a little hand waving and say you link up with them, and you guys can talk about how you're going to split up into groups. Would that work for everybody?
Yeah, sure.
All right,
I think we should just all split up before
he gets back. There's a note.
Yeah, we'll leave him a note. Call Hotvin parents in Florida.
You took too long. And enjoy.
And have some coffee and donuts.
Yeah, get the coffee stains out of the manila folders.
That's what I'm going to do. As we're all leaving, I'm going to leave a note for Agent Marco to call the Hotvin parents in Florida and interview them.
Out of curiosity, who's shrinking the pictures down and typing? I'm going to give them a clue chip for that.
That's me.
Is that Brent? Well, give yourself a clue chip for that, because that helps.
Molotov. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so
yeah, I'm
we're going to
trying to clean this up a little bit.
We're going to cut to Randall. So, Randall, as you recall, you were talking with Bob Turner, the farmer who said he had been abducted by aliens. And you spent a lot of time chit-chatting with him, and he had a telescope on a hillock, and he claimed to have seen things, and you were actually going to leave, and then at the last minute you decided to loop back around, come back to his house, and go check out the hillock. And Turner came out with you, and you guys were just chit-chatting, and you got up, and you saw there was a sketchbook. The sketchbook had, like, amateur artwork at best of landscapes and other things. And then you turned to the last page, and there was this very different piece of artwork sketch that looked like it was done by a real artist. and you showed it to him, and he paled suddenly and said, "I didn't draw that," and then he fainted in front of you.
Yeah.
And even though you failed your art roll, you still don't need to roll to know that that piece of artwork is way better than the other stuff there, and it's almost like two different people did it, and you can tell that whoever did this last piece of artwork was incredibly skilled. Like, easily could become a professional artist or some type of, you know, designer or for whatever.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know, kneel besides the farmer and try to wake him up.
Okay. You can make an easy first aid, which is double your first aid.
95.
Okay. Yeah, you're having some trouble getting him waking up. Now you know I do the bad breaks.
You hear a rib. You hear a rib break.
Yep. Perfect example.
So, yeah, you're fooling around, and he's just not coming to, and you're kind of just on the hillock. Camera pulls back to the peaceful birds chirping in the woods nearby.
Yeah, I'm thinking that probably this is the what happened when you are adopted by aliens. So
could be. Do you have
I'm gonna give it some time and
do you have a ufology?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. You just have the massive Ot one skill in it? Okay.
So if he doesn't wake up, you know, I will say, "Hello? Hey, sir."
Okay. So yeah, after about, you know, 5 minutes, he starts to come to. Fortunately, no,
that's what I was going to say. If he doesn't, you know, comes back in, you know, in a few seconds, then what I'm going to do is take the time to go around the place and look for
more stuff
that might be interesting for
me. Sure. What do you want to do? You want to go into his house? I mean, the door was open, so.
How far is it from here?
100 yards, maybe. And I'll tell you, out of character, since you're not slapping him, it may take him longer to wake up, too.
Okay, maybe I should.
Though you do wonder if he has something serious going on, if you call 911. Yeah.
No, he just fainted. That's what Agent Marco is thinking, at least.
Okay, sure.
So I'm going to go and fetch him a glass of water, and while I'm doing that, I'm going to search his place.
Sure. So he's got a two-story house. He's got a barn on the side. There's a few sheds in back. You go in, get a glass of water. I mean, you remember the kitchen where he showed you a picture of his daughter. He's got some family pictures. His wife. There's no picture of his wife noticeably in any of these photos. You see a bunch of other rooms that seem to have been converted into like libraries where they're just shelves piled with books, and even the floors are piled with books in a lot of the rooms, which should be other things.
Yeah, I'm going to look for his daughter's room and see if she is the artist in the family.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to give you a clue chip for that, even though she isn't. So go ahead and grab a clue chip when you get a chance on the wall. But you go up to the room and you check in there, and you don't see any evidence of her doing any artwork on that scale. And you see, you know, you do see more sketches in the house that Bob Turner did, and they are inferior quality. Right. And immediately, without even bothering to roll, you notice that clearly this guy has an obsession with alien abductions and aliens and government conspiracies. You also notice that he has the latest book that came out from these two Phenomenon X people. He picked up a book probably downtown from them, and he's got the signature from both of them. And you also see on the kitchen fridge there's a photo of him posing with them in downtown Montauk. So he's a big fan. What was your question?
If he's got any highlights on the book.
The book. Which book? He's got like tons and tons of books. Like, it's like walking into literally a library that's a mess. Like, he's converted shelves and shelves and put them along all the walls. And then he's moved furniture out so he can put piles and piles of books that are like 3 to 4 feet high. He's got like magazines. He's got all types of things. He's got like tons of National Geographics. He's got just gobs and gobs of books as you're looking around. You can make a spot hidden roll.
Alright, I'm in the... Okay.
I presume you're just looking around the entire house, so...
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Go for
it. I don't have a lot of time, though.
So, right.
And that's 71. It's a failure.
Okay. Yeah, so you're just looking around, and you realize you can make an easy psychology roll as well, which is double your psych.
That's a pass?
Yeah, this guy clearly has some obsessive-compulsive disorder that is clinical because of the way he's more than a pack rat. And you realize, like, if you want to get him going or try to talk to him about something, you can bring this topic up, and mechanically you will get a bonus of plus 15 when dealing with him socially if you're trying to get information out of him or get him to do something or whatnot. You realize you can play on his weakness.
Okay, what is his weakness again?
He's obsessive-compulsive with just topics of aliens. So if you bring aliens up in any capacity, you could manipulate him or get him to do things or open up if you're that type of an agent, which most Delta Green agents are. But
yeah. No, I if I don't find anything, you know, useful or maybe I wanted to check if the girl is the one doing the drawings.
That was a good idea. That was a good idea, but you're sure it's not her.
All right, so I'll go back with the, you know, a glass of water to, you know, to where he is.
Sure.
And, you know, even water
after a couple minutes, he comes to and he says, "Oh," and he just takes a glass of water and he's still on the ground. He just gulps it down.
Go. Are you all right? You know, the drawing was disturbing, but. Chucked you so much.
So as soon as you say the drawing, he faints again and drops the glass. and you think to yourself, maybe I shouldn't bring that up again when he comes to.
They make him of stern stuff out here in Montauk Bay.
Fool me once.
All right.
So
you
yeah,
know what? I'm gonna fetch his, you know, his sketchbook.
Okay, you look at
my jacket and see them, you know.
It's one of those huge sketchbooks. You could put it in your car while he's passed out and then come back to him if you want on the hillock. Yeah. Like, it's like one of those big ones that, you know, artists use and put up on stands and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. So you put it in your car, you come back, he comes to after 5 minutes. You have him in another glass of water. He's like, he doesn't seem to even remember that he fainted multiple times. He just gulps the water down and mumbles a thank you.
Okay.
So and he seems just out of it. Okay. Like you're looking at him waiting for him to say something and he's just kind of staring at the ground and kind of trembling.
So probably those are the aliens that adopted him in the first place and used his body for
you are thinking that to yourself.
Yeah.
You're thinking that to yourself, I'm presuming. Not thinking aloud. You know.
No. Not the kind of thing I will do. So yeah, I will just change topic. I can see that you get a pretty wide view from here.
He kind of gulps in some air and says, "We've had this place for multiple generations." And he coughs and pounds on his chest to clear something and takes another gulp of air. He's kind of looking off at where you indicated the great view and whatnot.
Yeah. You don't look, you know, that well. Let me help you go back to your place. Maybe I'll come back in another time.
All right. So yeah, you get him up, and you can tell he's in shock. Like he's not even thinking too well. He's just, you know, barely sustaining himself. And you take him into the kitchen and sit him down, get him another glass of water, and he's just kind of trembling, looking at his fingernails.
Okay. Yeah, I will tell him. Right. Thank you very much, sir. I will certainly be in contact with you. If anything else comes up, I'll come to you first.
Okay. So yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to turn around and leave. In the car, I'm going to take a closer look to the drawing. Anything that I can... What kind of I don't know if you have put it on the wall. I haven't got into the wall yet.
Let's give you the address. But yeah, there was a picture we posted of what it looked like, which, okay, so as Jim pointed out, was there. Distinctively professional.
By the way, Agent Marco, I gave you that clue chip that you earned.
Okay.
Since I know last time you couldn't get onto the wall, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to get right now from my computer, so it should be there in 5 minutes.
I blew
minutes.
The drawing up some, so it's a little more visible. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, the drawing is basically looks like some humanoid bird person standing over carnage.
With honestly, it looks like the cover of a heavy metal album.
I was going to say it looks like the cover of a Journey album.
Yeah, you guys kind of dating stuff.
Believe it.
Could be that.
That's a clue. That's a clue.
Journey is
hold on to that feeling.
Journey's in town. Oh, my God. I see a connection. This adventure is about
intimidating. All right, so
hey guys, let's go to the concert.
Adventure. Well, it does say of the arts, I would say metal is an art.
So yeah, as you're looking this over, I believe you already made an art roll last session and didn't make it, but it's pretty obvious that the artwork is quite good, quite fine. You can make an idea roll though as you're looking through. Randall.
Okay. All right. I pass.
It occurs to you that if none of your compatriots are particular artists, you might be able to find somebody who is an artist if there's something more you want to know about this or you think you're missing something. There's certainly access to people in the Montauk community. I mean, there's art shop. You saw an art shop when you were driving through the downtown area. Worst case scenario, you could go to New York City, which is a couple hours away, and talk to some of the bigwigs if you really wanted to.
No, I will. I don't know. Maybe I will look for that artistic place in town.
Okay, so I'm going to do a little.
Someone there recognizes the artist.
Okay. Before you do that, I'm going to do a little hand-waving and just say that Mikey calls you and you guys exchange information. So now all the characters have the clues and the stuff you picked up because they were kind of waiting for you to give that info.
So would Agent Marco have described the picture well good enough for us to?
Sure.
Oh, then can I recognize the... obvious South American iconography and connect it with the book that I have in my hands?
You certainly can.
Ah. Can I search through the book to see if there's anything similar?
You mean like for sketch work of something like that? This is one of those, boring academic books which doesn't have a lot of pictures unless it's like a map or something like that.
Oh.
Or a bust.
Okay. Well, then I'll search the index for anything about winged warriors with spears and jaguars and dead people at their feet.
Okay. Why don't you make a library use roll just to see how fast you go through stuff as you're looking around. This represents probably in and out for an hour or two when you're not in conversations or in the car and stuff like that.
9 out of 32.
Okay. I will give you something in a bit. Just remind me if I forget. They're calling you to come. If you want to stop by the art shop on the way, you can, Randall.
No, I'll go with them first. If it is not that far away, I'll come back later.
Yeah, it's really not that far. It's like a few minutes away from where they are. So you guys link up, and it sounds like Molotov is going to interview one of the high school kids who may be a suspect or have some information. And then I believe the other two of you were going to different scenes. Like I think Max was going to the water tower on the highway. Is that right?
Yep, and I was going to the park.
And Randall, do you want to go somewhere else like the art place or do you want to link up with one of these three?
Yeah, I'll go to the water place. I still trust this young agent to do things right.
Okay.
Yeah. He gets excited.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to cut over to either Molotov or Mikey. Any preference to who wants to go first?
Yeah, do Molotov first.
Okay. All right. Molotov, you're up.
I drive up to the school. Walk into the principal's office.
Whoa, someone's got a lot of static there. I don't know who that was.
It's not me.
I've been muted the whole time.
Yeah, I don't hear any static. That's weird.
It's gone now, but okay. It's gone now, I think. But anyway, yes, after all that static and a high wind as you're driving, you get to the high school and link up with the principal, Mr. Fenridge, who shakes your hand and says...
I had the windows down and Journey blaring on the way.
Exactly. And
all right.
Principal's pictures.
Pull the badge and introduce myself.
He shakes your hand. Okay. And says, it's good to meet another special agent.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here to pull out my notepad. Talk to Thomas Dengler. Is that correct? Student here.
Oh yes, he's a good student.
Should I go get him a class, or would you like to call him to the principal's office? What would be easier for you?
Well, we can give you a private room to speak with him, and he says, "I think he's yes, I can pull him out," and he refers to one of his assistants to take care of that, and he says, "If you like, you can use my office, or we can give you one of the empty classrooms if you prefer."
Oh, your office is fine, thank you.
Okay. So yeah, he lets you sit down. And
I absentmindedly stroke the flask. I don't take it out. I'm just stroking it through my jacket pocket.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, and Fenridge is like, "Can I get you anything? Would you like a drink, a glass of water, some iced tea, coffee if it's not too late, orange juice,
coffee? Coffee would be good."
So he has one of his people go out. They give you some of the standard coffee. And he says, if you need anything, don't hesitate to contact me. I'm gonna step out in one of the other offices and whatnot, and we'll send Thomas Dengler in when he gets here, which should be very soon."
I think I appreciate your professionalism.
Okay. He nods and he shuts the door. And
all right.
I'm pulling a picture of Thomas up here, but he's white kid, kind of on the chubby side. Door opens, you see one of the assistants say, "Special agent, this is Thomas Dengler," and Thomas, you know, comes in tentatively. "Hello.
Thomas, it's nice to meet you." Stand up, motion to a seat. "Why don't you have a seat, young man? Let's talk."
Okay. He sits down.
Okay. "Thomas, do you mind if I record this conversation? It's purely for reference, just to make sure everything's on the up and up." I pull out a little micro cassette recorder.
Make a social roll with a plus 15.
Okay. Do you want persuade, fast talk? Does it matter?
No, nope, whatever is appropriate for you. It's fine.
Ew, that stinks. Well, fast talk, I made 37 out of 60, so.
Okay. He says, "All right."
Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So, Thomas, pretty coming in talk. I'm sorry to pull you out of class, but I've got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind, and pull out my memo pad. We're looking into some murders I'm sure you've heard about, rather gruesome in the community.
He nods.
Starting with Edmore Reddy. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, he was my dentist since I was a kid, and he looks he looks pretty sad. He goes, "He was a nice man. Used to get me
when was the last time you saw
Dr. birthday Fred? Gifts." He pretty much relates about when he got his root canal, which fits in with what Mikey gave you in the notes.
Okay.
So about 5 weeks ago.
All right. And what about Vanessa Hotfin, the assistant librarian? Do you know her?
Yeah, I know her. She was pretty strict.
Oh, really? So you'd say you didn't have a good relationship with her?
Well, relationship, I don't know. I wasn't dating her or anything like that. I just, you know, she...
No, simply, how did you get along with her, Thomas? I mean, would you think of her as a good person? You know, was she a good librarian? Did she treat you well?
No, she was mean to me and other kids. She was always given detention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Making notes on my notepad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about Lauren Harrogate? Are you... sorry. Wait, did I get these mixed up?
No, you got the name right.
Wait. Lauren Harrogate is the librarian.
Sandra Harrogate is the mother of the cheerleader, who's Lauren.
Oh, I put deceased on the wrong person there. My bad. Okay. All right. So Lauren Harrogate is the deceased librarian. Sandra Harrogate's her mother. Gotcha. Okay. The one who's in the insane asylum. I'm the stress clinic. Sorry.
The cheerleader, not the librarian.
Vanessa Hotvin is the cheerleader.
Other way around. Hotvin is the librarian. Harrogate is the cheerleader.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Hang on. I got this all mixed up. Hang on. Cheerleader, Hotvin, librarian. All right. All right. Continue. So, Lauren Harrogate. She was a cheerleader here. Student, correct?
Yeah, upper class.
Uh-huh.
You know that, you know, Thomas is a sophomore.
Okay. So she was a senior, you were a sophomore, is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And describe your relationship to her. Sort of a little bit, you know, not too much, just a little bit. Cuz okay. I'm trying to replicate all Law and Order episodes I've ever seen, you know.
Sure. Go ahead and make another social with a plus 15 just to see how open he is with you and whatnot.
11. I nailed the fast talk, 11 out of 16.
Oh, nice. So he says, well, I've been in love with her since I came here freshman year. And I finally got the courage to write up love poetry to her. And I sent things to her. And he looks behind him to see if anyone's listening, but there's nobody else in the room besides the two of you. But he's clearly embarrassed, to say the least. He says, I used to hang by and try to talk to her, but she never really spoke to me. And then I heard she was ridiculing my poems with some of her friends in the cool circle. And then Adam didn't make things any easier when he wrote her a love poem because he said he could do a better job. And then he smiles for the first time, like in the photo. He goes, but then he got shot down. So then I thought I would have a chance. But then I remembered that she got back with her boyfriend, quarterback. And he just kind of starts mumbling off.
So did that make you angry that she turned you down like that? Did it hurt?
Oh, yeah, it hurt. I poured my heart out to her. Just like the book says.
Hurt enough to make you angry?
Yeah, I guess I got angry sometimes.
Yeah, love is hard, Thomas. Love is hard. Love is a human emotion, Thomas. You know that, right? Human emotion. I lean in, and I'm gazing very intently at his face and his hands. You know about human emotions, right, Thomas?
Well, yeah. He seems confused. You can make an easy psychology roll as you're doing this.
Zero 05. I think I got that.
Hey, don't forget to check that off. That might even be an impale for you. You impaled something, so don't forget to check that with a special mark too. But yeah, he goes, well, yeah, I'm human, and he's giving you this look like, why are you talking to me like this? And he's like, he's clearly agitated, and he's embarrassed, and he's close to feeling humiliated is what you're picking up. But with your role, you also get the idea that he's not telling you everything, but whether it's everything related to what you want to know is another story.
All right. I kind of probe the back of one of his hands with my pencil as I lean in. I say, yeah, love can make us do stupid things, Thomas. Very stupid things. And ow. Once I finish poking the back of his hand a couple times, I'm satisfied that they're real. I lean back, look a little disappointed. Say, Thomas, do you have any power tools at home?
He starts wiping he pulls out a handkerchief and tries to get the little mark he made on his hand. He says, well, my dad does, but I don't get to use those, and I'm not really good with tools or sports.
Like saws? A lot of other things. Saws, maybe?
Saws. Yeah.
Power saws?
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. And you've used them before? You've touched them?
Well, no. My dad doesn't let me touch that stuff. I just said
Come on now. Every boy wants to mess with his dad's tools. I'm sure you've gone there a couple times, right?
No, I don't really like tools.
Well, I'm sure you wouldn't mind if we looked at them, right? I mean, we just need to rule out a few things. So, you know, well, how about we go to your house and we take a look at those tools? You don't have anything to hide, right, Thomas?
You'll have to call my parents about that.
Well, why don't we just take a little trip out there? I'm sure you wouldn't mind a break from the school day, right?
Okay, make a regular social roll at this point.
Hold on. I'm throwing in a bad space here for my dice. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Okay, I made my fast talk. That was 30 out of 60.
All right. He says, well, all right, if it's okay with the principal, sure.
Okay. I turn off the tape recorder, stand up, sort of lead him by the shoulder out the door, address the principal. Mr. Dangler and I are going to take a little trip to his house, Mr. whatever his name is.
Okay.
You understand if you mind if I pull him out for an hour or two?
So for him to just totally go along with what you're doing, you're going to have to make a hard roll, which is going to be half.
Oh, nuts. I'm sure I'm going to love this one. Oh, yeah, 71.
He says, I don't know if that's a good idea, but we could have one of the parents come by and pick Thomas up, and then you can meet them over there. It's not really – we have – particular rules here, and the parents like to keep track of where their kids are at, so they may not be comfortable with an FBI agent taking one of their kids over to the house without permission.
No, I completely understand. Pull out my notepad, make a little note in it, looking at him and go, mm-hmm.
Plus, if you need anything, you're probably going to need a warrant if you want to check around the house, I would think.
Oh, Thomas here said he doesn't mind, and I'm sure his parents won't. Just a casual look to verify. Oh, by the way, Thomas is a minor, and therefore is
not allowed to make a contractual agreement with an FBI agent, the principal tells you.
Well, I'm sure his parents won't mind when they get here. And Thomas, again, your parents don't own a light aircraft, do they?
Okay, you're going to have to make a fast talk roll with Fenridge to make sure he doesn't get concerned. With your last conversation there.
Sandy, no, that's a failure.
He's like,
to play with tools.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea if Thomas waits here until one of his parents gets a hold of him, and then you can speak to them in whatever capacity you need to. Thomas, why don't you go back to class? But don't worry, he'll be here till you need to talk to him. But why don't I call both of the parents so you can set up an interview with them if you prefer a special agent?
That'll be fine. Thank you.
Hey, right. Make some calls and says that they'll be able to meet you at the house at 7. Sure.
Or swill coffee.
Okay. And now we're going to cut over to Jim.
Okay.
And you were going where again?
To the park.
Ah, yes, Peconic Bay. So you go over to Peconic Bay, meet up with one of the state troopers who goes to meet you there, who are technically off of the case, but you probably would have called ahead and had one of them meet you there. And you get out, and he comes out to meet you. He's in his typical uniform. Shakes your hand. His name's John Allen, by the way. And he says, Special Agent, good to meet you. My name's John Allen.
Hi, Officer Allen. Thank you for joining me.
Yes, sir.
Where was Dr. Moretti's body found?
He says, down along this trail. I'll lead you there. And he leads you down to this trail area. And this is a picture, by the way. Which I just pulled up. He shows you the general. He goes, a jogger, as you know from the files, found him in the morning. Looks like he was killed sometime in the late evening. As you know, the remains have been sent to the morgue. And he basically just details stuff you already know as you're going, walking around and looking at stuff.
Okay, and his actual body was found. Where was he? Where was the body lying?
He leads to the location, which is still marked off.
Or what was left of the body, anyway?
Yes, sir. It was right around here at the time, and he leads you off the trail, maybe like 200 yards, into an area that's covered with leaves. The ground's covered with leaves and trees and whatnot. He says it would otherwise be a beautiful section of the park.
Okay. We'll take a look at the area. Paying specific attention, looking for gray goo residue.
Okay. Go and make a spot hidden with plus 15.
Boom. No problems.
All right. You find some of that substance again.
Oh.
It's like under some leaves and all that, but yeah, you're able to dig it up after 10 minutes or so.
I will take a sample. I expect it to be the same as everything else, whatever that happens to be, if the lab ever gets back to us.
Hasn't even been 24 hours, but yes.
I'm impatient.
Yes, you guys are like moving every 15 minutes. Where's the lab, goddammit? God, they're slow. Calm. We haven't even got it yet.
Yes, and I understand the head was some 100 feet away. Would that be over?
Right around here, and he leads you to the direction where it was at, and you find more of that substance as you poke around in the leaves and whatnot. Yeah, you realize it would be easy to miss if someone didn't know what they were looking for, because it has a color to it that blends in nicely with the forest ground.
Yeah.
And it's under leaves and scattered, so you'd almost have to be looking specifically for this to spot it or get really lucky as you were looking around, you realize.
Now, it has been a good, 6 days, 7 days?
Mm-hmm.
Since he was killed. Is there any blood stain, splatter?
There's areas that are marked off that show like blood splats here and there that confirm it was Carl Moretti.
Okay. Just kind of looking around, can I see anything from this area? Can I see the top of the water tower or the high school, or where is this
the furthest out. If you look at the little map here, Peconic Bay is actually close to the Southampton. For like, if you look under the clue chips there, the Long Island map, you'll see Peconic Bay is there, right? And then this looks like pretty far. This is like a few miles minimum out from Montauk.
Okay.
And the furthest out from anybody who died.
Because
the cheerleader died like on the highway between Southampton and Montauk, per the map there.
Uh-huh. Okay, got it. Understood. Okay, thank you for your time, Trooper. I appreciate you giving me a look around.
Yes, sir. If you need anything else, don't hesitate to contact me.
I will and certainly do so.
You guys exchange business cards, and then you go on your way. And now we're going to cut over to Max and Randall, who are going to check the water tower.
Yes, while I'm waiting for Agent Marco to arrive at the... Well, I guess...
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to meet him there? Since he's in his own car?
Sure.
Then I would grab the file on what the sheriff's office has for that murder scene. Just so I kind of know where I'm looking.
Sure. All right. So you grab the file and you guys go to the water tower where the murder happened, and that's marked off too. And there's a state trooper who goes to meet you there. And he says, "Special agents, hello."
Hello, officer.
We're coming.
We're here to check out the murder scene from a little while back here.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the water tower. It's like goes up a few, probably a good over 100 feet. And the area is marked off, of course. And the state trooper leads you up and shows up at the top of the, of the walkway, kind of like midway up from the top of the water tank where it happened. And he explains what's in the file about how obviously she was clearly abducted and then left here hanging in a gruesome fashion. He doesn't go into the details of the gruesome fashion, even though it's in your file.
Okay. In the file, what does it say about the gruesome fashion that she was hanging?
Jim, you want to get some clue chips here? Or?
What does it say about her hanging? What do I have?
the clue chip
her
order.
Her spine was removed and her head was missing.
Well, I mean, the way she was hanging, I guess, is what I was asking.
Is her head still her head is like missing. Nobody's found it. Nobody's seen it.
Yeah,
nobody's seen her head or Hot Vin's head.
Yeah, she was. Her corpse was found like on the highest walkway which you're at, and she had no head. And her, as far as they're concerned, her back was torn out.
Okay.
And there's blood samples that are confirmed as her that are marked off, and you can see the splatter marks, and they're covered.
Well, I will do a little bit of looking around for some gray goo. Hey. Well, thank you, Trooper. We can take it from here. We'll find our way back down.
Okay. Jim, you get what a clue chip, by the way.
What is the body? Where was the body hanging from?
He shows you a corner of the highest walkway.
Okay. So I just want to kind of get a sense of how much work was it to hang the body of a young female here.
You know, it would have been trying to figure out if
It would have been a lot of work to, if she was dead when they brought her here, it would have been a lot of work to get her up all the way to the highest water tower. You said it was like 100 feet tall, and this was the highest one, which was about halfway up at 50 feet.
Yeah, this is like maybe 70, 80 feet up, so it would have been
70, 80, okay. Yeah. It's a long way.
I will turn to the agent and tell him, so we might be facing here a flying creature.
That's a possibility I hadn't thought about. Very scary. Very scary, Agent Marco. I don't know if I like that.
Be cool, man. Be cool.
Well, there's nobody around here. I'm just come on.
It's just two of you. Stay true.
I'm going to be myself.
Just keep practicing.
Yeah, that's okay. I handle myself just fine. You go talk to that librarian. See how she liked me. She liked me just fine. But we should get looking around here, Agent Marco. Stop wasting time. Let's look around. Sure. Let's see if we find any of this goo.
You can make spot rolls with plus 15.
What's a pass?
That is a fail.
Okay. So, Marco, at the... you look up and... above the walkway, and you're able to get hoisted or partially climb up that part of the water tank, and you find there's mixed in with a lot of dirt and whatnot. You're able to find a little bit of that polymer substance, which you take a sample of.
Yeah.
And then you wonder, my God, why have the labs returned my call yet?
Yeah. You know, we just knew what this is all about, guys at the lab.
I don't know. You know those lab guys. Those lab guys, they're I don't know what to say about them. They're just not fast enough. All about speed, efficiency. Right, Agent Marco?
That's about right. I see. A lot of speed here going around. So let's just, you know, just do as a part of the standard procedure, we're going to grab a sample. Why not?
Oh, yes.
Just to make sure they match.
Just like the sample I took at the other crime scene.
Yeah. And under the fingernails. I don't recall. If I recall right, correct, Shannon?
I believe the librarian, Hot Vin, had some of that under her fingernails, yes.
Mm. Yeah, I found some in the trees. Her body had already been gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... taking a sample, and
maybe look around, see if there's a trail of drops of this substance, something like that, coming from a specific direction.
Okay, both of you can make spot rolls. If you make it, let me know how well you roll.
92. Yeah.
That's a 12 under 50.
Hmm. Okay. Max, your character is looking around, and you do find something like maybe 100 feet out in between, you know, going from the water tower back towards Montauk. You find it up in the trees, and you take a sample of it. And it's pretty high. It's actually pretty high up. You actually climb up and come down, and you start to think about what Marco suggested about something flying.
Seems like a plausible, very plausible explanation. I guess I'll walk back and meet up with Marco. Or, okay. Hey, Gianmarco. Found more of this gray stuff. I think you're onto something with that flying creatures.
Yeah, it's way too high.
Yeah, 100. It was really far up there. Yeah, I don't know. There's really no reason it would be up there unless it was flying from here through the crime scene.
That's a good finding. Let's see what we got. It's weird. If whatever flying creature is, you know, bringing people here, we're not going to find any extra clues, Agent. Why don't we go back to town? I want to do some research about this drawing that I found at the farmer. So, and I'll show it to you once we go to my car. It's kind of strange, very detailed. Mm. It actually has a kind of a flying entity there.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Yeah, check that out.
Okay, yeah. He shows it to you.
When we go back to the car, I'll show it to you.
Mm-hmm. You can make
I faint? Oh.
No, he has to be Bob Turner, apparently, to faint.
Okay, an art role.
Then Marco,
okay.
Marco will raid your house.
that's a fail.
Okay. You pretty much noticed what I told Randall about the difference between that and the rest of the sketches.
Right. It's definitely a different artist, Agent Marco. You are right about that. I'll agree.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm going to say that Molotov and Mikey call, and you guys are all like giving each other updates on what's happened.
Yeah, I'm stuck at the school waiting for the Engler's parents to arrive here so we can get clearance to go search his house.
Molotov, you've been busy.
Perhaps we should all meet.
Tell
over
me about it. Interviewing a teenage kid is.
Perhaps we should all meet over at the Dengler house.
I think that's a good idea, Agent Mikey. Let's do that. We'll meet you guys over there soon.
Okay. You guys are driving over there, and
I'm sorry, Shannon, to interject. I was going to say, as soon as we hang up the phone, I'm going to say, "All right, Agent Marco, we going to this one of these artists? Check out this stuff real quick on the way."
Yeah.
All right.
You definitely have time for that. I'm gonna cut over real quick to Molotov. Molotov, you're kind of waiting around, and Fenridge comes out and says, "The Denglers are willing to speak with you, though they're going to have their attorney there. Just so you know, that's pretty standard for this community. So I wouldn't be alarmed by it, Special Agent."
Mm. Okay.
But they've got a time at 7:00, and he gives you the address and everything like that.
Where's the address? Is it their house or?
Yeah, it's a house like which is right along the beach, and you know you've got about 2.5 hours before you even have to make your way over there, and so you can link up with another agent, do something else if you want, or
nothing. Off and go link up with the other agents.
Okay, I'll have you link up with Mikey, and you guys share information, and then I'll cut over real quick to the art place the other two are going to.
Are you going to do them first, or?
I can certainly do you guys if you want. If you have other things you want to do, it's totally cool with me.
I would like to suggest to Agent Molotov, perhaps you should call the Denglers yourself and ask them to meet you at the sheriff's office, so that their house is. Unoccupied. A little back channel investigation of this boy, I think, would not go amiss.
Oh, their attorney at the sheriff's office. I mentioned they have some fine donuts. We have some fine donuts and coffee there.
Yes. If you can get them away and get them to the sheriff's office, then Agent Marco, Agent Mason, and I can check out the house with a little more privacy.
Before we hang up, I see you. Make sure and look for power tools, like a reciprocating saw, cordless, probably. And see if they have a light aircraft somewhere. The kid out. He's normal.
Yes. Human.
I checked his hands and face. He's not a lobster man.
Well, be sure to look for those. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I call his parents and tell them to meet me with Ernie at the sheriff's office.
So you call the residence, and you hear a woman pick up and say, "Hello, Dengler residence."
Oh, I thought I was sorry. I'm thinking modern day. Everyone's got a freaking cell phone. So I'm calling their house. Okay. Yeah, this is Agent Molotov of the FBI. I understand we arranged to meet with you and your attorney to talk about your son, Mr. Thomas Dengler.
Yes, at 7 o'clock, Special Agent. What is this regarding exactly? Is my son in trouble?
No, we just simply have some questions. Apparently, Mr. Dengler is a person who is in common with all three murder victims, and we thought perhaps he might have some information that would help illuminate the last hours of these people's lives. So, if you could perhaps arrange to have your attorney meet with us, you and your attorney meet us at the sheriff's office.
Okay, make a social roll to see the reaction.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, right on the money, 60.
Is that a fast talk?
Made it.
Okay.
Yeah.
She pauses and says, hold on, and she's away for a bit. She comes back and says, my attorney says it's all right, so we'll meet you at the sheriff's office at 7 o'clock.
Excellent.
We'll bring
we'll have donuts and coffee. Wait.
All right, we'll see you then. She hangs up.
All right, I look forward to it.
Okay.
Once Agent Molotov confirms that, I'm going to go stake out the Dengler house. And,
okay.
I will call Agent Marco and Agent Mason and ask them to come join me.
Okay.
Obviously, I call Mikey and tell him the results of the conversation.
The two of you guys are on the way probably to the art shop. You're just pulling in when you get the call from Mikey.
Well, it seems like this is more important. We need to support Mikey.
Yeah.
No, it's okay, Agent Marco. Take your time. We have about 2 hours yet before the house should be empty. But if you want to take your time, do what you need to. But if you could be here sometime in the next 2 hours, that would be useful.
No problem, Agent Mikey.
We just want to check this out.
You do some recon? Stick
That's
it out.
A picture of the Dengler residence, by the way.
Okay.
Okay.
Looks like a haunted house.
Yes. The two of you pull into the art place, walk in, and it's a very upscale place, very touristy. Some woman comes over and says, "Yes, can I help you?"
Hi. Yes, thank you. We were looking for some help. I would like to identify an artist, and I wanted to see if you identify his work. Maybe someone that has worked for you in the past or... And I show him the drawing. Well, show her the drawing.
She looks at the sketch and goes, "It's very good.
Pretty detailed. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty detailed. And I would like to get in contact with whoever did this."
She looks it over and she says, "Well, I don't know the artist offhand, but if you ever find out, I'd be willing to put his or her work up. This is just divine, even if a little scary." And she chuckles at that.
Yeah.
She goes,
"Agent Marco. Agent Marco, what about checking at the high school art class?"
"Oh, that's indeed a very good point."
"Wow, if a high school student could sketch like this, I definitely want to know that person."
"I'll send him over, that's for sure."
"Oh, well, thank you."
"Yeah.
You got a bright future."
Here's your business card.
Yeah. "Okay, we'll take it."
"Okay.
Then go to the high school, that's a great idea."
"Yeah."
Okay, the two of you get over to the high school. You still got a lot of time, and you're able to talk to the principal and check out some of the artwork and whatnot, and look at various things that are up, and there's nothing comparable to the quality of this sketch.
Hmm.
Well, at this point, all of you get a clue chip for pushing things along, all four of you.
I was actually, Agent Marco, we should take this over to my good friend, Miss... Winthrop over at the library. They've got an amazing library here. I bet they could find whatever this is from."
"Yeah. Yeah, let's go there. And I want to talk to the, the professor of the arts class. Maybe he can identify the student." Usually these guys like this, with this level of, you know, the gear that he has for drawings like this, probably he's going to be shy. Nothing that will be hanging from a wall in the school. So let's go to your friend, and then we'll pay a visit to the professor or the teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you go to see the senior librarian. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Miss Winthrop.
Okay. You pull in there and go into the library, and she sees you right away and comes up to give you a vigorous handshake. She goes, "Oh, it's so good to see you, Special Agent, and you brought a friend."
Yes, this is my associate agent, Marco. Or, I'm sorry, Randall, does your guy go by a code name other than Marco?
Yeah, Marco's fine.
Okay, so no code name for your nice code name. All right. Yes, Agent Marco. This is Miss Winthrop. Wonderful librarian. Librarian extraordinaire.
Charmed. She puts out a hand.
I was wondering, Miss Winthrop.
Yes.
Would you possibly be able to help us identify a piece of artwork that might be pertinent to the investigation? It would help us a great deal. I think this library probably has a wealth of information it could assist.
Oh, I might. What is it you need looking at? You guys probably have the big sketchbook with you, so she's glancing at that.
Pointing out to the one in the back.
Oh, this is beautiful. She looks over and goes, "You know, I saw something just like this when a Professor Javier Wu was giving a talk at the museum in New York."
Oh, how interesting.
The main museum, you know.
The main museum?
Yeah. All right. It's gorgeous work. Don't remember the artist's name.
Well, that's very, very helpful. Thank you, Miss Winthrop. So
this Javier is not from around here, is he?
Oh, well, no, but the students have been to a number of his lectures over in the city. It's only an hour and a half away or so.
Oh, the students. What class were they with that took them over to see the professor?
Well, of course, Samuel Adams, who teaches a lot of history, has taken them over on several occasions to give them an awareness of other cultures, certainly. And there have probably been some others, but Samuel Adams has probably gone over the most. I'd say he's about 80%. He's very much into all types of history, even though he's focused on American. He's a charming man. She
American
says.
History? Professor of American history? You're saying?
Mike yes.
He said Samuel Adams teaches American history. He's technically not a professor.
Okay. Yeah. Agent, Miss Winthrop, you have been a pleasure and a help as always.
I'm so glad I could help.
Yes. If there's anything else we need, I will not hesitate to ask.
Oh, do come back soon, she says. And she puts out a hand again to shake both and says charm to each of you as you say your goodbyes.
Okay, we head outside. Agent Marco, make sure no one's looking around or is around. I think I know. Yeah. Let's. We got to go check to this Samuel Adams guy. Oh, he was one of our other suspects that Agent Mikey checked out. And he was also... You know, he was the boyfriend of Hotbin. No, the librarian. No. Hotbin.
The librarian, that's right.
I hope the professor wasn't dating the cheerleader.
I know, but you never know what's behind.
But I think if maybe this, what's his name? The kid.
Thomas Dengler, you mean?
Dengler. Maybe if Dengler was in his class or the cheerleader was in his class and went on one of these lectures and we found that book that was by Dr. Wu. That's pretty interesting.
Well, you can make idea rolls as you're talking and thinking about this.
Okay.
Ot 8.
Is that impale?
Ot 3.
On idea, that would be... yes, it would be an impale.
Wow. And Randall, did you succeed too?
I pass, yeah.
Well, regular, I take it? Oh, half. So Randall is... Marco mentions to you that chances are, since Samuel Adams has been teaching like so many of the basic history classes, that all of the students you mentioned have been required to take a class with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been at the school for like something like 10 years or something like that. So just about everyone has taken at least one class with him is what you you realize. The second thing with the impale that you get, as you guys are talking about this, is it seems like Samuel Adams must have some connection to be taking so many tours back and forth to the New York City Museum and getting people in for that, and he probably has a some type of special connection there, is what you're thinking. However, as you guys are thinking about it more and looking at all the ideas, you guys look through the database of classes he's taught, and you notice that he teaches a lot of American history, but he's begun to teach like other classes, and this year he just started teaching South American history.
Mm.
And you look at the people who've been enrolled in that, and you see Thomas Dengler is definitely in that.
Interesting.
You know, you're cross-referencing some other names. You don't see the cheerleaders enrolled in it. You see some other names in there. You notice Woolsey Penman, who checked out the book 6 months ago. He's also in the class.
Hmm.
And then you also notice that there's like, you know, a bunch of other. You know, it's a small class by standards. It's kind of an elective, but it's about 20 students.
Okay.
And yeah, you guys can relay the information to the other two agents if you want, or just
I think we'll do we'll relay that to both. A lot of information right there. That's this. Samuel Adams looking more and more suspicious all the time. And I think we'll go meet up with Agent Mikey.
Okay.
Unless Agent Marco wants to do anything else.
So it sounds like three of you are going to be scoping out the house, and Mr. Crazy is going to be interviewing the people and stalling them.
That's Randall needs to be
added back to the call.
Yeah. That's the plan.
Okay.
That's the plan.
So you guys link up with Mikey. And a little before 6:30, you see a Mercedes leave, and it's got a man and a woman, and you can see Thomas is in the back, and then there's a car following behind it, which has two suit and ties in it, which is probably their attorneys.
Okay.
And they drive off.
Given that I've been staking out the house for 2 hours, has there been any evidence of anyone else in the house? Housekeeper? Gardener?
Yeah, you saw Gardner come by. You saw Gardner leave as you were coming in, and when you check the files and everything, that's their only child.
Okay.
And you don't see any cars outside, but it is a two-door garage. There may be cars in there. So, and you've been watching it for kind of a while. You haven't seen anyone else going in or out.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I think my working theory so far is that this boy Dengler. Somehow found out about, perhaps through this book, perhaps through others, found out about some kind of South American winged demon and has been summoning it to do some dirty work. Perhaps he was angry at the dentist for doing the root canal and angry at Miss Harrogate for spurning his advances, and angry at Miss Hotvin for taking his notes, his love notes. So I think we should get in and take a look at this boy's room.
I agree, Agent Mikey.
Go up to the...
It's about right.
Kind of look around and...
All right, three of you get out. The nice thing about this place is it's got a huge lot. So there aren't a lot of houses that are close by.
Well, that's good. Let's go up to the front door then.
Okay. You do see a sign saying that it's got some security, you know, it's got the usual security alert on it.
I'll ring the doorbell.
Okay. You go up and ring the doorbell and wait a bit. Nobody, you don't hear anything or anyone coming down. Seems okay. Pretty quiet.
Is there any evidence of a security system besides the sign? I mean, is there like, you know, the little puck on the windows and...
You see stickers on like the windows and the doors. It's got like something like ADT security out in California equivalent. And you walk around the back, and you can see they've got like a big swimming pool. They've got a mother-in-law cottage, and they've got like a big, you know, area next to the pool. And then it looks like they've got a gate, and they've got their own private beach down there.
Are there any open windows in the house?
You look up and you notice that on the, at the very top, there's a veranda, and it looks like the sliding door is open there.
Aha. There's our way in, gentlemen. If one of you could give me a boost up there.
Of course, Agent Mikey.
Do you have a good climbing, Agent Mikey?
No.
Because I was also going to mention to you that being that you are Delta Greens, you call in and have the security firm just turn it off.
Oh, okay.
Probably through Marcus. That's like a standard thing you could do without having to...
Sorry, we'll do that. We'll do that then and then just go
right
over.
I was going to let you do the climbing if you had a really good climb just so you could show off, but then I thought I'd bring that up since you said, no, I'm not that good at climbing.
No, let's do that.
You just call the ADT equivalent firm. They turn it off, and you just tell them that they're doing some routine maintenance, and Marcus will make sure it doesn't get back to the Denglers.
Okay, and we'll open the door.
Yeah, the door is not unlocked though. You will have to pick that
or force it.
Yeah. So if somebody has locksmith, or you need to force it, you can do one or the other.
Well, gentlemen, or one anyone? Of you, any good at this? Okay, I'm just going to try to force the door then.
I am not.
Since you guys did do a scope of the area, you realize that the back kitchen, going into the kitchen door, is probably a lot weaker than the front door. Okay. And easier to break down.
All right.
I will kick the door open.
Go make a strength times 5, and unlike Murph's mass, I will not do damage to you if you bad break.
Oh, 08 out of strength times 5 would be a 55.
Very nice. That's an impale. So you're able to force it open in a way where it's not super obvious. Like the lock is, you know, clearly anybody looking at the lock or noticing it after a while of opening and closing that door is going to notice that it's broken. But it's not obvious like you tore part of the door off or the hinges off or anything like that.
And that, gentlemen, is how we do things in the postal inspector's office.
And you guys have newfound respect for Mikey.
Yes. Very nice, Inspector.
Throw the men up. They'll high-five each other. Woo! Yeah. So, okay, you guys are in the house looking around. It is a very well-to-do house as you're going around and whatnot.
Mikey said, our first stop is going to...
Looking for a teenage boy's bedroom.
Okay. Go ahead and make spot rolls, and then if you make it, I'll give you additional information. And then if you have evidence collection as well, you could roll that. But I think
96.
Yeah, I failed my spot hidden.
Okay.
I would like to use a clue chip to re-roll that.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, let's see how Randall rolls first, in case he gets an impale.
I passed. I passed my spot hidden.
Okay. So, yeah, the two of you may want to re-roll your spots. Good idea.
I'll let Jim go and see how he does.
I re-roll and I pass.
Okay. So you guys were checking the house, but most specifically Thomas's room. Is that right?
Looking for his room and then looking for what looks like his teenage boy's room and then searching it for evidence of occult summoning rituals.
Okay. Awesome. And you're still searching the house, but you guys are focused on Dengler's room the most, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So Randall, while you're looking around, you go into like one of the den areas, and there's a painting that looks like so. Okay. shrink that down if you need to. But what's interesting is you notice that there's another painting behind it, and they've covered it up with this bigger framed painting. So you're able to move this painting, which is Gustav Klimt's The Lover, for those interested. And you pick, you find this one here, which looks very Mesoamerican as soon as it pops up. And it looks like, you know, it looks, you get the feeling that it's like something that's been in this house for a while.
Hey, I don't see it yet. Do you guys see it?
Yep.
Here it is. I had to pull it up. Oh. I'll blow it up a little here.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
That's kind of creepy.
Yes.
Hey, Mayan. Or wait.
So immediately, as everyone looks at this, they can make anthropology and or history rolls. And if you don't make those, I'll make some other rolls.
No, I cannot.
Anthropology or history?
You can roll both. I think anthropology's default is like what? Ought 1 or yeah. Something like that?
History is 20.
Yeah. History is 20.
Oh, sure. I make history.
Not archaeology, huh?
History?
No. You can do archaeology too. I'll give you archaeology.
Because it's going to be how well you roll. So. Or how horrible I roll with that 95.
So we have 2 regular successes, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, on a history, both on history, right?
Yep.
Okay, so as you guys are looking this over, this is obviously Mesoamerican, and as you're going over the details, you can see that a few things. It looks like they're doing sacrifices at the top of the pyramid structure there, and you can just make out in the crowd here, in the painting below, there's a little structure there at the bottom to the right of the pyramid, if you're looking at the painting?
Yep, yeah.
Okay. Just in front of that, you see those dark figures in front?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. One of them, now this is obviously not in the painting per se, but I'm adding this for the game. One of the figures in there looks to have wings that are folded up.
Oh.
So,
looks like the drawing that I found at Mr. Yeah. Turner's.
Yeah. Definitely does. Definitely does, Agent Marco.
Thickens.
Yeah. And nobody would, you know, someone could have this painting like for a long time and not even notice something like that if they don't have a fine eye or if they're just not into artwork. And you kind of get the feeling that this is something the Denglers may have had for a while, but they may have not looked at it. Plus, they covered it up because it's, it's kind of a wild painting to have in your house for guests. Hey, what the hell's that? Oh, nothing.
Can I suggest that one of
So that's what Randall found with his regular thing. With his spot. And then I think someone got an impale or a half, is that right? On the spot roll or a regular success, Jim?
No, I got a regular success. Before you get to that though,
you guys remember what you rolled on your spots or regular successes? Okay.
I got 68 out of 77. I got 68 out of 77. But can one of you perhaps go out to the car, give Agent Molotov a call, and perhaps have him just arrest Mr. Dengler, say that we found some marijuana in his locker at school or something.
Yeah, I can go call him, Agent Mikey. No problem.
I'm sure Agent Molotov can come up with into an arrest.
Hold on one second, gentlemen. What if it is not the little Thomas, the one who's doing this?
Well, I think
is one of his parents that is being overprotected.
It certainly could be, but we need to start with the boy, and he's the easiest one for us to keep a hold of at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. So, and I'm sure Molotov won't have any problems doing things like that. He's that
Mr. Crazy.
Yeah.
Mr. Crazy!
Yeah, so Agent Mason, if you could go make that call, that'd be...
No problem, Agent Mikey.
That'd be
yeah, they probably haven't... The Denglers haven't even quite arrived yet, yeah. too, you think.
So. I'm going to call Agent Molotov and say, Molotov, it's Mason.
Ring, ring. Yeah, Mason, what's going on? Have the parents left already?
Yeah, they're gone. We found some pretty interesting stuff. You gotta detain that little kid. Make something up.
What did you find?
We found that a big painting with our little sketch that Marco found in it.
We're detaining the kid on suspicion of bad artwork?
No. There's I'm sorry.
Look, I mean, if you found something incriminating, like, I don't know, the Necronomicon, maybe some wax hands and a face, I might understand, but bad artwork? Really?
No, it was hidden behind another painting. There's definitely something hinky going on with these people, but we
so
gotta...
they're hiding bad artwork.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, this, what you're telling me is incredibly weak. I mean, I'll figure out a way to detain him, but... as far as keeping me in the loop, I'm feeling a little left out here.
Well, we had already said that we had told you all of our... we had called you before and met, released all the other information about the lecture and all that stuff. All the connections between...
About what?
The connections between the Dengler and the South American lecturers and the class.
Okay, that must have been when my call dropped. I don't remember that
at all. Oh, okay. Yeah, so we found out some information about the teacher Sam Adams and some lectures by Dr. Wu in New York, which he's also the author of that book that Agent Mikey has. And the teacher Sam Adams, he's started teaching that South American history class this year. Smaller class with about 20 students. Thomas Dengler's in it, and the other kid that checked out that book.
And you found some South American artwork in the parents' house, so
we found the same artwork.
They're in on this.
We found the same artwork. Well, a bigger, like the full piece of artwork to the small sketch that Agent Marco found off of crazy alien hermit guy.
Okay, so essentially what you're telling me is you've got a professor at the high school teaching a class about the South American stuff based on something a Professor Wu in New York City gave him, a sketch from Crazy Farmer Bob who sees it and painting this people's house. You realize you're talking about a conspiracy at this point, right?
Molotov,
you got
that's
four
why we,
people
that's,
who have a...
That's why we need you to detain the kids so we have a little more time. We got to get some more information.
All right, yeah, well, I can't use any in the house since you're not supposed to be there, so I'll have to hear something.
Well,
come on, Mason, so long, Mikey.
I don't know. I told you when I told him to tell Molotov we found marijuana in the kids' locker at school. I don't know what the big deal. I don't know what's taking him so long.
I told him to make something up. I didn't know. I am not well versed in Molotov's craziness yet.
You can do anything.
All right.
So, just a reminder for all of you that hold on. There's a reminder that your handler Marcus warned you that you are FBI agents, but be careful if you push things too much, because if people look into it, something may come out and show real FBI look into this and see that you're not agents. So
we're
make sure
not
you're okay with that.
Real FBI agents.
Yeah, just be aware of that if you're going to push something, because these are powerful people in this community who might have attorneys who look into this stuff. It could take some time, or it could go really quick. You don't know. But well,
that's why we're having Molotov detain the kid, because he's good at that.
Yeah, he is.
I have faith in Agent Molotov's abilities.
So real quick for the rest of your spot hidden, Jim, you go up to Thomas Dengler's room. He's got a computer. One of the old style computers from the 90s with the big wide monitor and keyboard. And he's got some discs that say, hey, get a free AOL account, stuff like that. He's also got a lot of different books around. He's got several on South American cultures.
Yeah.
You also see that he's got some Playboys underneath the bed in a box. And with those Playboys, you see he has a bunch of strange-looking charms in there.
Okay. I will take those and flip the computer on.
One of them looks like that. Okay. Computer comes on. There's no password. It goes directly on. You see that he's got an AOL icon, and he's got, what was big back then, Netscape browser.
Yep.
It's the Alta Vista search engine.
Browser history.
Okay, make a computer's roll with plus 15. You're still going to get something even if you miss, but if you make it, you'll get more.
Computer use. I have a little bit of that. Plus 15, that would be 22, 32, 37. Ah, I missed by one.
So,
don't worry, Mikey. You got the expert here on computer use.
Oh, Agent Marco, oh, yes. Perhaps you should take a look at this.
That's what I do for a living.
Ooh, this is where you put your 14. Points. Is that an impale or half or what?
Yeah, it's an impale.
Nice. So Mikey's able to find some things, and then you're like, oh, here, let me take care of it. And you spend, maybe a half hour going through all the computer work, and you find these are some of the things you find. He's got an AOL profile. You see, he has a bunch of chats where he tried to talk to the cheerleader, and the only thing she said was, go away. He's got all these things like, did you find my poetry yet? Did you get it yet? You know, that type of stuff that's been going on for months. And rarely did Lauren reply. And you also find, like, there's a number of things he's researching. Like, he's researching, like, how to be a good son is one. How to appease your parents type of thing, right? There's another where he's looking into various South American cultures, especially what appears to be the Hold Incas. On. Okay.
Yes. Hold on.
All right.
What do you mean he's got one of those how to be a good kid for dummies?
It's like he's done searches on the web, and people are giving their opinions of like, yeah, I'm 17, I get along really well with my parents, here's how I do it. And they got like advice like, just always agree with what they say. If they need help with anything, just do it, don't complain. Try to come back on time. If you have a curfew, follow it. Hang out with other kids who are good students to make it look like you're a good student too. Just all these various things that are, anywhere from regular to kind of manipulative.
Hmm. When did I want to do a search in the history, see if I find the date when all this how to be a good kid started?
Looks like he started about a year and a half ago, which would probably tie in with him starting his first year in high school.
Okay. So I will hold my suspicions for now.
We all thank you for that, Randall. Yeah, you go through more of it, and you see that he's got like a picture, that a link on his little profile. He's got a picture, and it's of his grandfather. He goes, "This is my grandfather, Derek Wheeler. He was an archaeologist." He went to South America, and he lists like that, back in the day and stuff like that. He was a great man. I'm going to be like him.
What was the grandfather's name again?
Derek Wheeler.
Maternal grandfather, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe we should look for. You know what I'm thinking, Mikey. Maybe he got into, following his grandfather's steps. He ran into a box of all, stuff from South America that he found during his archaeology trips. And is it possible that he got possessed?
Yeah, he's either possessed or summoning something. I checked my watch. How much time do I think we have left to safely bug out before the Dinglers might be back?
Well, that's a good question. Why don't we cut over to Molotov and see how he's doing? Right?
All right. I just hung up with...
Just sort of worst case, the drive time to get there, if
drive time's about can even
keep him there for
drive
10
time's about, Yeah, drive time's about 15 minutes. So 30 minutes.
Okay, so I think we should go now, gentlemen, because I'm not all that confident in Molotov. ability to keep
what
them
is
there
this?
So oh. long. Better safe than sorry. I don't think we want to tip our hand quite yet.
Okay, so you guys are going to file out of there?
That's my suggestion.
Do we take the amulets? And
hell yes, I'm taking these.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. there's several of them.
I'm taking
them all. You know, we're going to put a picture.
Take the picture, too.
This is a huge, but the old huge one. Painting, by the way. It's framed and everything. You can carry it out, but if you want, but they
no,
would probably notice.
No, we'll leave it. I'll just take the
Thomas amulets. Thomas may very well notice at some point that his stuff is missing, too, but yeah.
Now,
yeah,
quick question. Fine. Is it obvious that someone kicked in the house through the door?
No.
Literally?
No.
Somebody coming in, just opening the kitchen door, will not immediately notice that it's broken, but if they actually scrutinize it or get really lucky, they may eventually notice that the lock is something's off about it.
Okay.
Because he got a new nail, so he was able to kick it open in a way where it's still kind of workable.
Yeah. Best I we see. Can do. Okay. I think we should get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to make sure, I'm going to put the old painting, on top of the
Gustav Klimt's lever. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Or maybe it's called the Kiss. I forgot. I think it's called the Kiss. So, yes. You guys do that and file out, not having much patience, faith or patience in Molotov. And we cut to Molotov before you guys are out of the house. And you can see that they've set up an area for you kind of in one of the meeting rooms where you've got control of the central chair and you're behind a desk and whatnot. And there's chairs laid out. And the principal comes in and says, Special Agent, I'd like you to meet the Dengler family.
Hold on. I'm doing this at the sheriff's office.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, that's right.
And so, also, Sheriff. I just hung up with Mason, with Agent Mason. Might have a little bit more time before they show up if I just hung up with him, right?
Yeah. Is there something else you want from Alice? Or?
Yeah, I'm about to jump the hot tier here. All right. I run up to what's her face? What's
Alice.
Her name? The receptionist? Alice. I said, Alice, when the Danglers get here, get them to wait. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay. Where are you going? Should I know?
I won't be gone long. Just tell them to wait. I'll be right with them. I'll be here in the building, okay?
Okay.
Just wait here. Just make sure you keep them here, okay?
All right.
Okay.
We'll do. She gives you a thumbs
up. I run back into the conference room. I make sure I've got the folders with all the information about the murder victims laid out.
Okay.
And I'm not being fancy, just slap them down real fast. I assume this is a sheriff's office. There's a place with tools in it.
Tools. What type of tools?
Hand tools. Any kind of tools. I need a saw.
You do not see a saw in the meeting room. You could probably get access to a saw.
I'm looking in the utility room. Alice, where's the utility room?
Oh, over here. She leads you to area, and yes, there's a rusty saw there.
Great. Grab it. Grab the rusty saw. Okay.
All right. I have a rusty saw.
I run to the bathroom. After I grab a first aid kit, run to the bathroom, and I'm going to cut myself on the inside of my arm with the saw and bloody it up. So that will probably take a sand roll or something. I don't know.
Go make a sand roll.
And then I'm going to put the bloody... I'm going to put the bloody saw in an evidence bag.
I want to see the luck roll for him having his tetanus in the last 5 or 10 years.
Real men don't need tetanus shots. Yeah, I failed. I've got a sanity at 20. I rolled a 67. So,
you lose a point as you mutilate yourself convincingly.
Same point or point?
Or as I heard it, you kind of broke up. It sounded like you want to take a voluntary sand roll. Did I hear that right, or was it something else?
Right.
Yeah, he's suggesting that
That's
he needs
correct.
A sand
so
roll because he's intentionally.
Yeah. So you just lose a point of sand.
Funny.
Okay, and how many hit points do I lose doing this?
I'd say 1 point. I mean, you were you've had a lot of experience with wounds, it sounds like, so you knew how to cut yourself in a way where you didn't take as much as you could have. Okay. And this isn't Murph's game where you take 6
saw.
Points from a door. Okay.
You sound bitter or something. Twice you've mentioned that.
I wouldn't say bitter. I'd just say I'm amused, and I know Murph will listen to this eventually. So we know each other. So I'm just kind of sticking it to him.
Okay. So
After I get a smear of blood all over the teeth of the saw, I put it in an evidence bag and bandage my arm up.
Okay.
Run back in the conference room and
hide
the bags.
Whoa, are you okay? Alice sees the new bandage on your arm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I put my jacket back on.
Oh, okay. And she does say that.
Because I'm wearing a full suit.
Sure.
So throw that somewhere in the conference room where I can easily, but it's not obvious.
Okay.
Grab some sweet and low in the cough. Pour some sweet and low into the evidence baggie or in a Ziploc bag and then put it to twist it, make it look like hide that with the saw. Okay. I think we're ready now.
Okay. So a few minutes later, Alice comes, knocks at the door, pokes in, and says, the Denglers are here with their attorneys.
Okay. Thanks, Alice. I'll bring them in just a minute. I quickly call Mikey or Mason or Marco and tell them, hey, it's here. The greatest show on earth is about to begin.
Okay. Do you guys have anything Alice, to say?
Bring him in.
Yeah. What is it, Mason? What is he saying now?
Well, we're not there, so.
Well, he called you guys to let you know, apparently, so maybe you can wish him good luck, I guess.
Good luck, Agent Molotov.
He says he's got it covered, Agent Marco.
Well, that's good.
Okay, excellent. That's what we wanted to hear.
All right. So they brought Alice him in. Hello.
Leading ahead is they shake hands with you. Hello. This is our attorney, Myron Middleridge.
Mr. Middleridge?
He gives you a more formal hello. He's got an assistant attorney with him. They shake hands.
I pull out my tape recorder, lay it down on the table. Do you all mind if I tape record this conversation purely for reference?
I'd prefer you don't, says the attorney.
Understandable. I tuck it back in my jacket. Well, I appreciate you all coming down to the sheriff's office. This is just an invite. I was asking a question today in school, and his principal advised it would be best for his parents to be present. So, sure, if Thomas has caught you about questions, I ran by him. But it's regarding the gruesome murders this community has recently suffered under. I assume you all are familiar with them?
Yes, it's horrible, says Mrs. Dengler.
Okay. As I'm saying this, I'm slowly organizing the three folders of the victims and sort of lining them up almost in an OCD fashion. Colleagues and I have been investigating these for a possible serial killer connection. And we've come across one common link in all these murders. Lean forward over the table, sort of eyeball the parents at the same time. It's your son.
All right. They all
at this point,
shocked.
I begin flipping
Thomas
open the
shocked. Folders. The Denglers look shocked. He's trying
and
to look
laying
shocked.
Out the body.
This is a very serious charge, says the attorney. Are you arresting my client?
Oh, we're not discussing a charge at this point. No one's... I'm simply pointing out that the common to these three victims, as I tap each picture individually, is Mr. Dengler. He was Dr. Moretti, in fact, one of the most recent patients. He was detained for detention by the assistant of Vanessa Hotfin, and he suffered a emotionally devastating rejection from Lauren Harrogate. I believe we have a sample of his poetry with us as well.
Okay, give me a roll.
All right.
This is going to be opposed.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Double lot.
I don't even need to roll. Well, if they double lot, let's see. No. The attorney just puts his hand up and says, stop. And he stands up and says, I thought we were coming down to help. You're clearly trying to incriminate... young Thomas Dengler with flimsy evidence at best. We're leaving. Anything else you need, go through me and have the proper paperwork, agent. This was a waste of our time.
Flimsy? At this behind me and pull out the bloody saw and white powder and slap them down the table. You call this flimsy? I call this
Denglers are leaving and Middle just says, what is that?
That is a white substance we found in your son's locker, along with this bloody saw.
What would
now,
a white
you tell me
have...
how... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
He said, what does a white substance have to do with this?
Well, clearly,
drugs are involved. A nice young man like this from an upstanding family would be involved in anything this quite gruesome unless he was on some sort of drugs.
You said you got this from Thomas's locker, yes?
Yes.
And you did it without a warrant, yes?
As you are aware, you don't need a warrant to search
it,
public.
He said you did it without a warrant, correct? You can make a law rule.
And as I'm okay. Out of character, I'm pretty sure in public school you don't need a warrant. But 28. Law.
What's your law?
30, made it.
Regular 30. Success? Okay. Yes. So, yeah, there's kind of some wiggle room with all that. And if you, you know, if you have probable cause, you could try to do it. But if it goes to a court case, he's going to fight it. And basically, if he wins, none of that will be admissible. And that's probably what he was looking at when he brought it up. But he just looks to you and says, I think we've heard enough. We'll be in touch with your superiors. And he leaves, starts to leave with the Denglers ahead of him.
I don't think anyone's leaving Denglers under arrest. I've got clearly all the problem because we need here. I'm going to put him under arrest now. Detain him here at the sheriff's office.
He looks to you and says, you don't have anything to bring him in, agent. I'm going to have your badge if you push this. Just because you're FBI doesn't mean you're going to throw your weight around here.
Are you threatening me? Are you impinging on a federal investigation here as I step in, do a sort of thing?
I'm advising you to violate your personal space, agent. I'm trying to help you keep your job before your superiors try to avoid this embarrassment and remove you from the FBI. I have people I know in the FBI.
My job's the issue here. I think dead residents of this town are the problem here, and I think you're interfering with the FBI. You step back before I have two arrests for the evening.
You are welcome to continue, agent, but at your own risk. And he steps back. And, of course, the parents are just shocked.
All right, pull out the Thomas priest. Is shocked.
Okay.
I pull out the bracelets, start slapping them on Dangler.
All right, you cuff Thomas, he starts crying. Miranda. He's like, what did I do? What did I do? I don't know. What did I do? What did I do? I'm sorry.
You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to watch a Law & Order episode. You have the right.
Did I say covered? I think what I meant to say was bungled.
All right, so you handcuff him, and you know you can keep him temporarily here at the sheriff's office. They have some cells and back.
Okay.
Covered.
I escort him back to the holding cells.
Okay.
After I get him in a holding cell locked in, I'll try to find a private space and make a quick phone to Mikey.
Myron is staying with Thomas, and the parents are leaving with the other attorney.
Oh, okay. Well, then I need to step away from Myra at some point and get some privacy.
Yeah, but this is probably a good place to leave it. It's right about 8:10.
Wherever I need to go. Nice.
But yeah, you guys relay all the info, and this is a good cliffhanger of sorts to leave it at, so we know where to start when we do our next session in a couple weeks.
Cool.
To see what happens next. All right.
Hey, you guys get
you left the crazy all alone. This is what happens.
You let it out of the box. There's no putting it back in.
There was nobody to put a leash on him.
Hey, let me advise you again. Agent King here is not FBI. He's DSS, and pretty much all his law training comes from older episodes.
Nice. So... I think it'll work out.
It'll be interesting next week.
Oh. Yep, a couple weeks.
All right.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys. It was fun.
I smell trouble from Molotov.
We'll be curious to see what happens in 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Right, go on.
Definitely. All right.
See you later, guys.
Good stuff, guys.
See you later.
All right.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you, Shannon. Bye.